Now turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 3, for what I'm sure is a familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar portion of God's Word. There's one specific aspect of this passage that I want to zero in on today. It's been very meaningful for me, and I pray that it will be also for you. This is the story concerning Moses' call to the ministry. Verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now that's Mount Sinai. We know that as Mount Sinai. Now you know the story of Moses, how he was born in Egypt in slavery to a Hebrew family, and that the Jewish male children were under a sentence of death. Moses' mother put him in a basket of reeds and set him adrift in the river. And the sister of Pharaoh found him in the river. Quite coincidentally, she thought, but according to the divine providential plan of God, he was found. He was taken to Pharaoh's house, and he was raised there by Pharaoh's daughter as a prince over Egypt. But when Moses was 40 years old, having heard the call of God upon his heart to minister to his people, he knew he was a Hebrew. He went out one day and he found a Hebrew slave being beaten by an Egyptian soldier, and he killed the soldier. He saw nobody was looking, and he murdered an Egyptian soldier. The very next day, as he went out again, he found two Hebrews fighting. And he said, "Why are you fighting, your brethren?" And in their anger, the one spoke to the other, "What are you going to do? You're going to kill me like you did that Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses became terrified because he knew that the word was out, and he ran and fled Egypt. He fled the palace and he fled the nation. He fled into the desert. And there he met the man Jethro in Midian. He married Jethro's eldest daughter, and he lived in Midian on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He is now a man who is 80 years old. He's been 40 years in Egypt, living in splendor, and he's been now 40 years on the backside of the desert, being broken by God, being prepared and being honed into an instrument that God could use for his own purposes. And here he is on the backside of the desert, leading the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he comes to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And he's minding his own business, which is tending the flock. He has no thought, apparently, of a ministry for God. He has no thought that God has a calling on his life. For 40 years, he has been sweating in that desert. And if he ever had a thought before that God would ever do anything in his life, he's no doubt lost that. In 40 years, any thought or delusion of grandeur that a man might have had is going to die in 40 years' time. But God had not forgotten. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." I can identify with this man, Moses, and I suspect that many of you can as well. I was a businessman just going about doing my business. I had no conception or no understanding what God wanted to do with my life. I had no dream that God would want to do with me or through me the things that I know now that He wants to do. Many of you are in the same position. Those who we're going to commission today, I know, are in that condition. And I want you 15 particularly to listen carefully to me today as I'm sharing this passage of Scripture. Moses saw a supernatural work being done. He saw a bush that was burning and it wasn't consumed. And he turned aside to go after it when he saw the angel of the Lord appearing in that bush. And it was only when he answered the call of the angel of the Lord that God spoke to him and began to tell him what he wanted him to do. He saw that his heart turned aside. Now, in my own personal experience, that's what happened to me. I was going about running my business, making money and doing what men do in business. And I began to see God Almighty doing supernatural things in the lives of other people. And as I experienced those things, as I observed them, as I saw them, I turned aside to look. And oh, what is this thing that's going on? And as I turned aside to look, God spoke to me. He didn't speak to me out of the midst of a bush, but He spoke to me by His Spirit in the inner man. And His speaking to me is just as definite as His speech to Moses was definite to him. Moses heard it with his natural ears. I heard it with my spiritual ears. And many of the rest of you can identify with the experience that this man Moses is having. God called unto him after he turned aside. When he said, I've got to see what this is all about, God spoke to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he, that is God, said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God is beginning to deal with Moses about who he is, who he, God, is. He's, you're standing on holy ground because you're in the presence of the Almighty God. Now get your shoes off. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God said, Moses, I see the plight of my people. I'm concerned about them. I've heard their cry. I've heard what's come up because of their misery and their bondage. I've seen the oppressor have his hand upon them. I have seen my people living not like I intended, but like the devil intended them to do. I've seen the hand of Pharaoh, and I've seen his agents, and I've seen how they have bound my people. I've seen how they've been oppressed. I've seen how they've not been able to walk in what I have intended for them. And now, Moses, come, for I will send you, because you are my agent of deliverance. Now, I've heard God's call as well. You have heard God's call. Many of you, I've talked with many of you about it. God has spoken to you about a work that He wants you to do. He's spoken definitely to you about it. You know exactly what He wants you to do. But you, like me, have had the same reaction that Moses did. Moses literally said, Who? Me? And so did I. The calling of God was on my life before we were ever a church. When we were meeting over in James and Marianne Fulcher's house, God had dealt with me. I mean, I was so miserable some weeks, I wanted to die. Because the Lord would deal with me about the fact that we were having regular Friday night prayer and praise meetings there. And the Spirit of the Lord would speak to me that He wanted me to lead those meetings, and He wanted me to lead worship, and He wanted me to do some teaching. And I wouldn't do it. I'd refuse to. And I would hear the people talking. You know, they would kind of murmur among themselves, you know, what's the matter with Vic? And why won't he do it? You know, and he's the one. And we had some people come into that group and want to take over the leadership, and the people wouldn't respond to that leadership because that wasn't the one that God had called. And the people would talk, well, what are we going to do? What are we? And I would go to a meeting. I'd say, well, now I'm going to try God out tonight. And I'd go to that meeting and I'd say, I'm going to lead this meeting tonight. And I would step right out, just go in there and begin to lead it. And it'd flow and it'd be just fine. But when we were all done, I thought, who am I? Who am I? And I wouldn't do it. The next week, I just wouldn't do it. I'd be miserable all week because I knew I was going to have to face it on Friday night. And Friday night, I'd go to the meeting, and we would all sit around like bumps on a log. I mean, we'd sit around like dumb people who couldn't talk. And nothing was happening. There was no singing. There was no prayer. There was no minute. We'd all sit there and just look at each other. And everybody would look at Vic. And I would say to myself, well, go on, look at me, and just, I'm not doing anything. And I like that. I just keep my mouth shut. I mean, that's exactly the way. Week after week after week, it was like that. And so a conversation I did not hear personally, but it was reported to me. Someone said, what are we going to do about a leader? And this brother sitting out here said, we've already got our leader. His name's Vic, and we're going to wait for him. Well, when I heard that... You don't know, you don't realize the kind of pressure that put on me. You know? Well, they're not going to go in there. They're going to wait on me. But see, God had called. God said, come therefore, I'm going to send you. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's how I felt. Who am I? That was my question. Who am I? And you perhaps have asked the same question. Who am I? Chris Schallenberger, you may be asking the question today. Who am I that I would build this school for the Lord? And your wife is perhaps asking the question, who am I that I would lead a group to establish a curriculum and instructional program? And Brother Paul Massey is perhaps asking the question today, who am I that I would be the one to lead a group of men and women to establish the policies that would govern the operation of this school? And Piper, you're maybe sitting there and saying, who am I that I should minister in the name of the Most High God by singing? I've heard you say it. I believe you're coming to find out who you are, though. Amen. And some of the rest of you have said the same thing. Who am I that I should go and speak to Pharaoh and command the children of Israel to be set free? Who am I? We've all said it. Now, this is God's answer. And He said, certainly, I will be with thee. That's enough. Certainly, I will be with thee. And then knowing Moses' heart, he went on to tell Moses, I'm going to give you a sign or a token that I am with you. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. In other words, when you come out, you're going to serve me right here on the same mountain that I'm talking to you. But Moses said unto God, I'm sorry, God, but that's not good enough for me. I'm not satisfied just to know that certainly you're going to be with me. I need something else. Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I'm going to tell you what God is speaking to my heart, and I'm going to tell you what God is speaking to you today is the same word that he spoke to Moses. And it is simply this: quit asking, who am I? But put yourself into remembrance who I am. Quit looking at yourself and look at me. It doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who he is. It doesn't matter how many arms you have. It only matters who he is. It doesn't matter what kind of voice you have, what kind of mind you have, what kind of skill you have. It only matters who he is. He says, I am that I am. I'm the all-sufficient one. I'm the self-sufficient one. I'm the self-existent one. I'm the one from the beginning, and I'm the one at the end. And it doesn't matter what your limitations may be. All you have to know is me. And that's what God has put in my heart. I'm still asking the question, who am I? I'm still asking it for me. Who am I? And God's still giving me the answer. I am that I am. Get your eyes off yourself, he said. And look at me. Don't look at yourself. Look at me. I told you that. I told you some time ago that when God called me to pastor, be a pastor, and to pastor this particular church, and he had already spoken in my heart many things that were going to come to pass here. And I refused at first to pastor this place, because the question, who am I, was stronger than the knowledge of who is he. And it was only when I came to grips with who God is that the who am I became unimportant. Now, some of you perhaps are wondering, how are we a relatively small fellowship? We are a relatively small fellowship. There are about 250 of you probably here today, something like that. And that's about normal. Our total budget here is something around between $230,000 this year, something like that, $230,000 a year. The plan that the planning committee brought us was $1 million program. Whew. But they scaled it down into phases, and phase one was only $600,000. Do that on a Sunday afternoon, $600,000. But if you're like me, you wonder, where's that $600,000 going to come from? How are we going to gin up $600,000? It's going to have to come from somewhere. You have to have money. In establishing a Christian school, what kind of things do you? What kind of curriculum are we going to have? How are we going to handle? What kind of students are we going to admit? On what basis are we going to establish the policies and the procedures for that school? What are we going to teach in it? It's a tremendous undertaking. A tremendous undertaking. And I want you to know that if I didn't know him, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. Because on the surface, it looks like Moses' task. Who am I? God spoke to me once, and I think I've shared this with you as well. He spoke to me on June the 3rd, 1976. It was the day I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I had no idea any of this was going to happen. And on that day, he spoke and he said these words. He said, "My son, I don't ever want you to attempt anything for me that can be accomplished by man. I want you only to attempt those things that man cannot accomplish and that only I can." Now, this is one of them. I mean, we're right smack in the middle of one. I want you to know, this is not something that man can do, at least not this group of men. But I know the great I am. And I'm not concerned today about who I am. I'm concerned about who he is. And I'm not concerned about who this man is, or this woman, or this man, or the 12 others that'll be working with them. I'm concerned about who he is. And I believe with all of my heart that he is self-sufficient to bring to pass through these brothers and sisters what he desires to bring to pass. Now, I believe that God has given his wisdom, I believe he's given his instruction, and I believe he's given his direction. For these 15 brothers and sisters, their names, I believe he has prepared them for this time and for this day. I want to say to you publicly that what comes forth does not depend upon us, but upon our believing in him. See, he can and will bring it to pass. Now, I don't want to hear anybody saying, "How can we?" If you think that it's a matter of how can we, then quit right now. Just wrap it up right now. If you think it's how can we, then we can't. I mean, the answer is we can't. Just quit right now. Just stop it right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. If you're going to say how, you can say, "I wonder how he'll do it. I wonder how he'll accomplish that." I'll tell you something else. If there's any question in your mind as to whether this is the will of God, let me please counsel you not to hinder, but rather to watch. Gamaliel, back in the book of Acts, gave very good counsel to the Jewish Sanhedrin when they were debating what they were going to do with James and Peter and John. They had just healed a lame man, you know, and they had commissioned them, they had commanded them not to ever speak again or teach in the name of this man Jesus. And they were debating about how they were going to handle this situation. And Gamaliel said to them, "Well, now, I give you this counsel. You better just leave it alone, because if this is of God, you don't want to be found opposing God. And if it's not of God, it'll fall apart of its own weight anyway. See, if God's not in it, it can't succeed. I can't make it succeed, and neither can you. See, it's that big." Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we can't make it happen. We can't. All we can do is believe God to do it. And so, let's be careful about that. If we're not sure, let's just wait and watch. But let's be careful that we're not hindering or not working against. Because if we do that, then we could be found hindering or working against the work of God. And that's something I think that not any of us would want to be in the middle of, would we? And if it's not, God's going to fall apart anyway. So this is the confession that I make to you today concerning this work. And it is the exhortation that I give Paul and Chris and Joan and the dozen that are going to be working with you. It's not who are you. It's not who are you. It's who's he. He's the great I am. He's the one that brought over 1 million slaves out of Egypt rich. 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 They brought the riches of Egypt with them. What do you think they made that golden calf out of? Can you imagine a calf? I mean, a full-size calf made out of solid gold? That's God Almighty. And that's what He can and will do among a people who are willing to believe Him. Not who am I, but who is He? Amen.